Love Talk Radio.
Okay. Amen, amen, amen. The Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. Once again, we are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday. And we thank you for being a part of this hour. As we move forward, for those of you who are listening by internet, if you'd like to call in, you can call in and participate if you have a question for the speaker. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. If you would like to participate on Zoom, the Zoom number is 505-563-6808, and the password for that is Psalm 23, capital P-S-A-L-M 23, and you can be connected to the Zoom. Also, if you would like to listen to this message at the end and pass it on to someone else and be a blessing to someone else, you can go onto Blog Talk Radio, then type in We Can Begin Again. Blog Talk Radio and type in We Can Begin Again. Amen. And you can listen to this message and share it with someone. Be a blessing to someone. Amen. As we move forward, of course, you've received a text. And if you did not, we are in West Virginia. Amen. My hometown. I'm glad to have some family in the house. West Virginia. All right. All right. We have none other than Bishop Charles Soares, who will be coming forth, who will be the next voice that you hear. We'd like to also inform you that new beginnings are new every day. Amen. They're new every day. God is constantly sharing new beginnings every day. So I'm thankful about a new day. I don't know about you and a new beginning. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful. I get excited every time I wake up my eyes, you know, open my eyes and I look at, you know, at the walls or the beauty that God had created. I'm excited about a new beginning. So as we move forward, I am going to move on over into Princeton, West Virginia, and I'm going to turn it over to Bishop Charles Soares. Bishop Soares, are you here? Are you there? Do I have you on?
Yes.
Hold on.
Yes, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, amen, amen.
Can you hear him clearly?
Can you hear me?
Not clearly. Okay, I'm trying to correct on Zoom. It's not coming through.
Okay. All right. How about now? Is it a little clear?
Yeah.
Okay. Amen. Well, we thank the Lord for today, for this opportunity. We are always thankful, and it's an honor to be a part of the Blog Talk Radio. To Dr. Clay, thank you for the invitation. To each and every one of you, we just bring you greetings and the favor and the blessing of God from Princeton, from Shiloh, for that place of worship. We thank the Lord for what he is doing, even in the midst of this hour, this time. Will not be before you long. Just was wanted to talk a little something that was kind of on my heart, probably staying into the same vein that I was in the last time we was on the Blog Talk Radio. So if we could, I just momentarily let's have a word of prayer. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your great grace and mercy, your hand of protection, your provision. We thank you that you're God and that you're in control of all things. In the midst of all that goes on, you're still in control. Nothing catches you by surprise. You are very much aware of our goings and our comings. So we're asking right now at this moment where two or three are gathered together, touching and agreeing, your presence, your power, your Holy Spirit will empower us and change us and transform us, that we will be a hearer, but a hearer with clarity of your word, and be transformed to a doer. Many hear, but without clarity, and many hear without doing, but we ask that you work with us and mold with us, your Holy Spirit, direct and guide us. We thank you now for what you have already done, what we believe that you are doing, and what we're giving you praise for now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wanted to talk to you from the book of Matthew, the 27th chapter, and I was concerned about revival. And when I say revival, prepare for revival was the topic or the thought that I had. And when I'm talking about revival, revival is an improvement in a condition or stressing something or reawakening. And lots of times we think of a revival as the church universal, as a group of individuals, as a group of people. But when I say the church, I'm speaking of individuals, because you and I are the church. We are the temple. We are the presence of God. So revival comes almost every day in many people's lives. There's ebbs and flows, ups and downs in life. So when today my thought was, or my thinking was, in the form of revival, but not so much in just the universal church itself, but in individuals being revived from the posture that they've been in, from the conditions that they have dealt with. Because if we could be honest, the chaos of the world, the confusion of the world, the dynamics of the politics, the situations that happen on our jobs, the things that trickle through our homes and through our communities, it just creates just a level of stress and chaos and confusion. And lots of times we're putting on faces and striving to walk in this faith and not by sight, and we're striving to do what's right when we're in the face of everything that's good, evil. We've looked around and we see people transforming what is good and making it evil, and what is evil and they're calling it good, and they're justifying it by just compromise and just being complacent. And so it has a tendency to wax on us and wear us down and make us feel almost as though we're not even going to be able to focus. And so I wanted to was thinking about that process, and I thought about Jesus on the cross, and at the first in chapter 27, this is when he had already been the crucifixion, and we speak that on the Passover and Resurrection Sunday, and we do this. But I was looking at the burial of Jesus, and a particular situation just kind of hit me. The Bible says that in Matthew 27, starting at verse 57, it says, when evening was come, a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who himself was Jesus' disciple, he went to Pilate and begged for the body of Jesus. And he went to Jesus. This is Jesus on the cross. He's been crucified. The Bible says that he was delivered up because he was envied. His disciples had left. People had moved away. There was only just a few people that was weeping, a few women that was weeping at the cross. He had already spoken his last sayings and last words on the cross. He had already given up his spirit. He was there. Joseph knew the urgency of the time. Being a Jewish individual, he understood that it was the Passover, that anybody that would deal with the body, was a dead body, had to purify themselves and cleanse themselves. So he wanted to give Jesus a proper burial. The Bible said he was a disciple of Christ, so he was secretly in the dark, so to speak, had been discipled of Christ, so he was listening to his words, is what he was saying, and his life. And the Bible said he went to Pilate and he begged for the body of Jesus, and he begged for it, and he understood the urgency of the time because he was begging for it. The hour had drawn near, and that word kind of hit me as far as interceding. He interceded for the body of Jesus. He interceded for someone else. And oftentimes the church as individuals, or the church universal, the church local, we need to do a lot more begging, so to speak. We need to start begging and interceding on behalf of the communities. We're too busy looking at the chaos and confusion, but let's intercede on behalf of our schools becoming killing fields, and we're racially divided, and we're politically divided, and all kinds of things are occurring. We need to make sure that those situations, am I getting clearer now? I'm sorry. Can you hear me a little bit better now? Those situations become what we need to intercede on behalf of other people. That's what the church needs to do, and that's what we need to strive to do, is being interceding on the behalf of others. And so the Bible said that he himself begged for the body to be delivered. And when Joseph was taking the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth or towel. And I looked at that clean linen cloth and a towel, and I was struck by what he had did. Here is a man that was a disciple. He was posturing Christ for revival, to position the people for revival. And I saw what he had taken the towel, or he had taken the towel or the linen cloth. He had brought a level of holiness or purity to the scene. Here was a scene that's chaos and confusion and depravity and all kinds of things was happening. But Joseph brings a cloth or a towel to the scene. He's bringing a level of purity to the scene. There's lots of times we're hearing and seeing all kinds of chaos, but what type of purity or holiness are we bringing to the scene of the chaos? Are we indulging into the conversation of the chaos? Or are we bringing levels of purity? And then it hit me that the same thing that Jesus did in John chapter 13. The Bible says in John chapter 13
when Jesus was sitting at the feast of the Passover, that he knew that his hour was to come. This is a few hours before the crucifixion had taken place, that he was now sitting at this, and supper had been ended, and the devil was put into the heart of Judas Iscariot's son to betray him. Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands, he rises up from the supper and laid aside his garments, and he took a towel and he girded himself. And after he poured the water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And so Jesus is now showing them just with the washing of the feet. He's now washing the feet of the disciples. He's getting ready to wash the feet of the disciples. And many of the Bible commentaries say that this is an allusion to the humility of Christ. But I would even like to go even further, a little further than that, because John actually sees two interesting moments when he makes this comment. The first thing he sees is that he knows that Jesus knows that this is his time, but he is still concerned about other people and committed to his disciples, and he's all about love. He's not only is he loving and committed to his disciples, but to the end, he has a passion for his disciples. To the end, he has a passion for the truth, and he fought for the deliverance of Judas all the way up until the end. And so Jesus is now showing them two things, that in spite of everything that's happening, I'm still showing love for someone else. In spite of what's going on with my own personal situation that's getting ready to take place, I still have enough time and concern for someone else, as he's showing the love for someone else. Jesus showing him that he is showing his whole entire active ministry when he is there. The first thing he does is he lays aside his garments. The Bible says he's at the supper table. He lays aside his garments. The Bible says that Jesus laid aside his deity and came down. He didn't come down to act as God. He came down to act as man and dwelt by God. He lays down his deity. He pours out the water into a basin, which hours later, Jesus would pour out his own blood in order for us to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. And then he takes the feet of his disciples, and he washes them with the water. He's washing them with his own blood. And then he gets up, and he sits down and finishes at the table. And the Bible says that Philippians said that he humbled himself, even became obedient to death. And then he says in Hebrews that now he is seated and get up and seated at the right hand of the majesty up on high. That Jesus was showing them that this is the whole process of ministry, of how you are to posture yourself for revival, is to be able to do these things, is to be able to be in a condition to where you can actually love. And the bath that he had, so he was showing them that the washing of the feet is many times is what we're needing to do, is being able to be concerned about our brothers. So when Joseph brings back to the scene, he's showing everyone that God is still about love, and God is still about cleansing, and God is still about purity, and God is still about holiness, and God is still about doing the Father's work. And so when I started looking at the washing of the feet, lots of times many of us use the washing of the feet as a ceremonial type of thing, as one of the things that Jesus would institute, but he wouldn't have, that's not really what he was doing. Jesus would not have instituted that at the end of the ministry. He would have done that at the beginning of the ministry. And I've been to foot washing ceremonies before. I'm not saying anything is wrong with those type things, but let's be honest. Whenever we go to a foot washing ceremony or a service, you're not going to come with dirty feet. You're going to already clean and wash your feet before you get there. So that right there in itself is pointless. Jesus was actually washing the dirt off of the feet of the disciples. And when he's washing the dirt off the feet of the disciples, it represents the sin that gets upon us in our lives when we're walking through the day, and so to speak. So then he gets to all around to all the disciples, and he gets to Peter, and Peter decides, I don't want to be washed. No, he says, no, I don't want to be washed. He now shows this level of some type of humility. He's now showing, he says, no, Lord, you can't do this. You can't do this for me. I don't want you to do this. And then Jesus tells him, he said, you have to. This has to be done. He said, this has to be done. So he's actually telling him that he's actually applying this cleansing of his own blood. He's actually telling him, you have to do this. Can you hear me pretty clear right now? I'm sorry. Can you hear me? It's kind of feedback. Can you hear me?
It's not coming out clear on my end.
Okay.
Okay.
And I have someone else that has their phone line on. I'm trying to find out where it's coming from. It looks like New York.
Can you hear me? How about you hear me now?
Okay, I'm muting everyone except for you.
Okay, can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you, but I'm hearing a feedback. Okay.
All right.
Mr. Storrs?
Can you hear me? Yes, yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
You're clearer now. What about Ozone? Still not clear? Let me pull up New York.
And it's better to be hated for telling the truth.
Can you
be hear? Nice for telling the truth. And it's better to be hated for telling the truth than to be nice for telling a lie. And how many of us can hear you know?
I'm getting all kind of feedback.
Right. Okay.
I'm getting all kind of feedback. And on Zoom, you said you can't hear. I believe they're online as well as Zoom. Is that correct? Pastor Miles, you're on Zoom? Okay. Dr. Suzanne, you're on the phone line as well? You're not. Could you go to the phone line also? Or actually, you're controlling.
I'm just now going to my phone.
Okay. Is it clear on the phone line?
Yes.
It's clear on the phone line? Okay, so we're just having a distraction on from the Zoom. The volume on the Zoom is not coming in clear. So Bishop Storrs, those on the phone line can hear you clear. It's just that on Zoom they can't.
Okay, well, I apologize for those who can't hear. What I was saying was with Peter, Jesus now is actually cleansing and washing the feet of the disciples. This is an illusion of his whole, this is showing his, he's showing out, he's acting out his entire ministry. He comes down, he throws up, puts aside his deity. He comes down, he humbles himself, he gets down, he gets low, he humbles himself. And if we're going to get into the posture of revival, we've got to be able to humble ourselves and be in a position that we can be able to receive from God. Many of us are, it's hard to humble ourselves. We don't want to do that. We don't want to be told and hurt anything. So Jesus now shows us in the posture that you have to be to come down, to be able to humble. And lots of times God can sometimes bring us down to the place that we don't want to go to use this as the blessing to be able to bless us in other places, in other ways. There's many times in our own lives we can attest to the fact that if it had not been for God bringing us down through this situation or bringing us through this trouble or bringing us through that problem, we would have never been able to be blessed and be resurrected or revived from the next place that we are at now. So he shows us that. He lays aside his deity. He does not come as God. He comes as man indwelt by God. And he moves in that direction. He now takes the water basin and opens the water up, which is symbolic of his blood that was going to be poured out. He takes the water and cleanses the water, the washing of the word, the washing of the blood of Jesus, cleanses the feet of the disciples. Then he has one disciple, Peter. When he gets to Peter, Peter says, no, I don't want you to do this. And if you first read that part of the scripture, it looks as though Peter has a lot of humility and expressing great humility. No, Lord, you can't do this. You can't do this. I shall not permit you to do this. Which is the same Peter that says, Lord, I'll lay down my life for you. Which is the same Peter that said, if that be you, have me to come. Which is the same Peter who denied him three times when it's there. So Peter has this, he has this look of humility, but if you really look at it on deeper, there's an expression of intense personal pride. He's now dealing with his own self-sufficiency, a sense of independence, and lots of times that's a sign that God was trying to show us, even the church, even the disciples, even those who are holy, even those who are righteous, that sometimes sinful pride of our own heart, which oftentimes cloaks in itself with the guise of the appearance of humility, is really not what it is, because we really don't want to admit to anyone else that we're in need of anything. So Jesus didn't want to admit in the fact that he was in need of anything. No, Lord, I'll do it for you,
you can't do it for me. And there's lots of times that we're in the church and we're in the presence of in fellowship, but we're actually trying to do things on our own in our own way. So Jesus says, that's not it. He said, this has to happen. So then Peter goes to the other end of the pendulum and then turns around and says, well, hey, then wash my whole body. And Jesus says, no, listen, that doesn't need to happen, because the bath is a picture of salvation. When you're bathed, you're cleaned all over, because he was actually saying that as they would do for the meal, they would bathe themselves, as the custom would have it, as the tradition at the time, they would bathe themselves before the meal, so they were already clean. So they were actually, that's the sign, or that's the representation of the justification by faith. Now, we're justified by faith by washing away the guilt of the past. There's a lot of people in our lives who want to remind us of our past, wants to bring up our past, wants to tell us about our past, wants to tell us, hey, do you remember your past? But God does he wash that away, because we're now justified, we're washed by the baptism, the salvation that we come to him. But the washing of the feet, that this happens many times, when the disciples, when they would walk on the dusty roads and they would come into the house, they would wash their feet. Their feet get dirty at different times. That's a sign of forgiveness. And many times over, we've got to be able to forgive our brothers and sisters many times over. So the salvation, the bath, is not needed but one time, as Jesus said. But the washing of the feet, going to do many times. And if we could be honest, if we lose our enjoyment of our relationship lots of times when it's temporarily defiled by the sin of our lives, his attitude towards us doesn't change, but our attitude actually towards him changes. And so God has to wash us to renew our spirits. And we deal with this society in this world who wants to make us angry and make us hostile and make us hold grudges. And so we walk around with bitterness, and we walk around with anger, and we walk around with vengeance, and we walk around with hatred, and we walk around with dissension and all kinds of stuff. But yet we're still striving and acting as though everything is right. But so we're not really postured for revival. We're just surviving throughout the day. God wants us to be revived. Dr. Ironside pointed out about the washing of the water. Dr. Ironside pointed out that there is the temperature that you have to be concerned about with the water. And when you are disciples washing the feet, that's temperature. He said, first of all, when you wash the feet, you have boiling hot water. Sometimes people are so mad and so angry about the situation, they wash their feet, but they're mad about it. They're angry about it. Stick your feet in it, so they got attitudes when they're doing it. You ever been around people who have attitudes but still trying to preach to you? Got attitudes but still trying to be holy to you? Got attitudes and angry about everything else, but they still trying to think this, so they have boiling hot water. I don't want to be washed in boiling hot water. Then you got ice water. This ice water, it's the holier-than-thou individuals that act like they're above everything, that they've never sinned, that they've never made a mistake. Every minute you fall into sin, they want to point out the Bible to you and pinpoint certain scriptures that actually are for you. So they're ice cold. They have a hard heart. And so they don't actually handle like this. And then some Christians, they don't even use water. They like to dry clean. They actually scrape your feet clean, and they give you a piece of their mind. At the same time, they're trying to give you God's word, but they not only are they scraping your feet, the dirt off your feet, but they're actually scraping the skin off of your feet at the same time. So we're dealing with those type of individuals. So when Joseph saw it across the towel, it reminded me that Joseph now realizes, hey, Lord, I see your ministry. I see what you've done for us on the cross, the salvation that you brought. Here, I'm bringing a level of holiness in this chaos, in this confusion. I'm bringing a level of purity, this purification that you have, that you have brought to me. I have a desire to now posture you and put you in a position and put your body in a position that actually can be resurrected. But the Bible says that before that, Jesus had gave up the ghost. He had called out to his Father and said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And the Bible said he gave up the ghost. Because when we read that particular scripture in Matthew, and when Joseph gets to that, the Bible says he takes the body, he says he wraps it in a clean linen cloth, and he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door, and he departed. He took it down. He didn't say Jesus. He didn't say the body. He took it, because what was left was nailed to the cross was our sins, our anger, our hatred, all of this. God has already given up the spirit, so what was there? And it's the only way that we're going to actually have a revival in our life, or to be resurrected in every situation, is we got to be able to wash someone else's feet with the word of God, be able to spread the good news of the gospel in a chaotic and confused world, be willing to intercede on the behalf of other people when they are in need of intercession, instead of putting my finger on them and my friendly fire on our brothers and sisters. And always we have a Christian way. way of doing things. We can gossip and disguise it as though we're being righteous. Hey, pray for sister such and such because, you know, they're doing such and such. And we just gossip and doing all this kind of stuff, and we bring our level of judgment and all kinds of things to the table. But once we get rid of that and we deal with it, we lay it in the tomb and we bury it so that we can be resurrected from it and no longer have to be carried around with it. And that's what God is trying to say, that if we're going to be positioned for revival of this country, United States, if this world, if this community, if our homes are going to be resurrected, we've got to be willing to have compassion, to have love, to be able to strive to do what God says. I'm tired of the Christians with all of the lip service, with all of the Christian lingo, with all of the words to say, and they're doing all kinds of stuff in the dark, and they're doing all kinds of things here, and then people are justifying it, and making it okay, and making allowances, and everything is all right. I'm tired for, the Bible says that Jesus was envied, is why that he was giving up. I'm tired for everybody falsely accusing and doing all kinds of things and belittling and pretty much destroying the body of Christ when we are supposed to love one another. A part of everybody's concerned about what political party you're affiliated with, what type of agendas you have here, what's your financial status, where do you go to, what this person is, what this. We have got to be willing to lay aside all of our differences and be able to be Christ-like and strive to love one another. And that's a hard task to do because that means denying ourselves. And lots of times we're so independent that we want to have us in God or a little bit of this in God or a little bit of that in God. But if we're going to really be revived and have everything that God has for us, we've got to be willing to surrender because that's what Jesus did. He surrendered. He gave it to us so that we can now give it. And he says, now, the very things that I've done for you, go to do to you, to your brothers. We've got a country right now that's divided state by state, city by city, all kinds of stuff. We're having everybody doing everything to each other, and there has to be some love. And brothers and sisters, the church is dying because we have been so malnourished because we have people on the pulpit that is preaching things that's even not godly, and we're living in ways that we're justifying their conditions, and we're doing all kinds of things, and that we have this form of godliness, like I've said before, but we're denying his power. And it's time that God is striving for us to real men and women and children of God to strive and wash one another's feet, not with a temperature and a climate and a hostility, but with real love and humility, laying aside everything so we can actually be resurrected, because it's time now for God, his soon to come, and we've got to get ready. We've got to be ready. We're judging. We're critical. We're criticizing. We turn on the TV and everybody's hating on one another. We're blasting each other. We're doing this, and then we bring it to our homes. We bring it to our jobs. We bring it to our community, and so every day becomes so toxic. So then we get so fueled by this toxic environment that we become angry and hostile and bitter. And before you know it, we're just sitting here going through the motions, and God is coming soon to come back and return. So we have to strive. So that's what we have to pray. We've got to do some begging, just like Joseph did from the very beginning. We've got to start interceding on behalf of our communities, interceding for our children, interceding for our country. Don't worry about, I've said it time and time again, let's not worry about who's where they are, but let's pray for whoever's in charge. Let's pray for these individuals. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's have the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, to move in mighty ways, which he can if we just posture ourselves for revival. The Bible says that in the end that Joseph and Nicodemus, they both came with anointers of the body. They anointed the body. They brought spices. They anointed the body. The same fragrance that was used when Christ was born, the same situation was there. They anointed the body. I heard Dr. Hill say in his book, Beyond the Mist, that there are some people that are launchers of the body, and there's some people that are embalmers. That the very minute that they see you do wrong, they want to embalm you and hold you as a relic of the past. Can't let you get past your last mistake. Can't get you past yesterday. Always bringing up this. Can't wait till you fall down. Can't wait till you make a mistake. But other people are anointing you. They are anointing you for the presence. And I believe that the embalming and the anointing is the same fragrance, which God says the very thing that the enemy tried to mend for your bad, God's going to turn around for your good. So I'm going to give God and praise God and thank him for what he's doing, because I know that in this hour I got to posture myself for a revival, for a personal revival, for an improvement in my relationship, for a strength in my situation, for a reawakening of my spirit, for a reawakening in the church, for a reawakening in the community, for just a reawakening, because if we can each one reach one and teach one becomes many, and we become a group of individuals striving to do the things that God has for us to do. And that's what I believe that he wants us in this hour. Now, if there are any questions, I want to open up, if you can, open up the mics or for any questions, comments,
conversation. Can you hear me? Is there any, we'll open up for any questions?
I'm over here. Give me a minute.
I'm opening up the mics.
Okay, all mics
open.
Are there any comments?
Any comments?
Okay.
Let's see if we can see that.
Is there anyone online that would like to make any comments?
Stop doing stuff in the dark and then coming out to light. from preaching. I actually experienced something like that today, but I've actually done it myself, but I experienced it today with an old friend who I know is doing dirt, and then he called me today and tried to preach to me. I like that. And I understand that. So thank you. We actually talked about it earlier. Yeah. So.
And you know, these are the opportunities. If I could say so, these are the opportunities that the enemy would like for us to be able to judge someone else in whatever that they're dealing with, and overlook the different things that we might be dealing with, because we have a tendency to assume that our stuff is, so to speak, quote, is not as bad as someone else's. But this is those are the washing of the feet moments. These are the moments when we are to be able to be compassionate enough, but be able to be to understand that we too are subject to a mistake or a fall. But in the body of Christ, we're so quick to judge and call what's not real and what's not pure, what's not right, and whatever, instead of being able to, and we are not dissecting, but we're actually destroying the body. We're not actually inspecting, but we're assassinating the people. And God is saying, wash the feet. If you can bring a level of clarity to someone who is ignorant in one particular area, wash their feet. If you can help them financially or emotionally or spiritually, wash their feet. Be able to do these things, because when you do that, God turns around, and as he's done it for us, he turns around and does it again. It says, freedom you receive, so freely you give. We're too busy figuring out who's better than the other that we can't actually operate the way God wants us to. And I think that that's where we have to position ourselves for the revival.
Right.
Is there another comment?
I know that the enemy
is always trying to come in and wake up what the Lord will do. I've been getting a lot of calls
from the very beginning from Bishop.
But I know it's not the enemy. I know what it is.
You have a word that
is born,
and the enemy does not want
anyone to take that in mind. And
that's really what we're looking at.
I'm just trying to figure out how I'm getting the feedback. And someone here is cheated by his own. I thought it was my household. But maybe it might not be. Yeah.
Right.
One of the things I would like to ask you to do,
if you could give me a sense of what was it, or 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 what was it,
could you let me know if it's coming in clear on the blog, if it came up clear? And he is doing that now.
On the blog, you can hear it, but on the recording, it'll be clear.
Okay,
so it's clear
on the recording,
it will be clear.
The recording will be posted after. Amen. So what I'm going to ask you to do is be a lesson to someone by going on to Blog Talk Radio. Type in, and then we can begin again. And you can listen to this recording. Amen.
Amen.
Bishop
Storrs,
I apologize because I'm getting rid of the screen back on here.
Right, that's right. We're no problem. We just thank the Lord for the opportunity again. And you know, this is like you said, this is we're just trusted that it doesn't matter. God's word will continue to will not return void.
Amen.
Opportunity. I was thankful for blessing that. But I really believe, as I said before, the last time I think we were talking about good bones, dry bones, and I just think that it's just so much that there's revival. It reminds me, we're so focused on all of the negativity that the enemy is doing, but God also is doing something. The Bible says that in the beginning, the earth was void in darkness, and the Spirit hovered over it, so God's still in control. And so as long as I know that, I'm okay with that. And I can trust that I'll do what he says do, and I posture myself when for that revival that he does it individually. And so that's what I'm asking for in my home and our church and for all of us. And so now I believe that that's what will occur.
Amen. Amen.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. Can you repeat that? You said pray?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yes. All right. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your hand of protection. We thank you that in the midst of every situation, you're still in control. We thank you for this day, for this opportunity. We give you praise. We give you honor. We thank you now as we depart from here, from every hearer, every listener, every individual, every family, everyone we touch, bless, touch all of those that's connected to them. We ask them that you just branch out and be a blessing to many individuals. Continue to watch over us, protect our home, protect us, and be with us as friends. Us and God, as we thank you for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 I face the dawn.